going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Rolling on in to hour two. It's a Jazz Fest weekend, but we're talking about Draft Fest. We're talking about Draft Fest. I was trying to do an Allen Iverson thing. It didn't work there. I'm Jeff Nowak. He's Charlie Long. Coleman behind the glass. We're taking you up till 11, then handing off to the guys over at Rouse's on Power Boulevard. They're going to take you through all four rounds, the final four rounds of the draft today. Five draft picks, and we're going to get into the fourth round pick for the Saints here, Jonas Sanker.
Third round pick.
That's what I meant.
Yes,
Jonas
sir.
Sanker. He was a 93 pick, which is almost the fourth round pick. It's pretty close. You got toward the end. What was your, you know, we talked a bit about Jonas in the last segment. We're going to hear an exclusive interview we did with him yesterday. But, you know, before we get into that, Charlie, what is your kind of initial read on Jonas? How do you feel about that pick?
Well, when the pick was made, I liked the safety question being answered, right? Xavier Watts was the one on the board that consensus pre-draft process was high on a lot of people's boards, viewed as a lock to be a day two pick. That's who I thought that they were going to go with. He ends up going two picks later to the Atlanta Falcons, but Jonas Sanker, you know, an all ACC player, performer at Virginia this past year. And with Sanker himself, like, you just hear the guy talk. It seems like the Saints have something that they target with these players as far as their character traits and, you know, how smart they are and if they can fit different roles in defense or offense. With Sanker specifically, Mike D had a good tweet about him. I'm pulling up as we speak. You know, I was unaware of the player really in the pre-draft process, but he ends up going in round three, so they obviously have a good plan for him. Mike had put this out just a little bit ago, said, Jonas Sanker is a super smart, instinctive, good open field tackler, is the communicator to others on defense, and is a good special teams player, which is actually something that they brought up in the interview, if he could play special teams, and he said he was willing to do whatever. That seems to be the prevailing thought from a lot of these draft picks. Wherever the team needs me to play, I will play. So we'll see. I mean, at the very least, you get an immediate special teams contributor. I know that's not the most sexy thing to do in the third round, but someone that's going to at least have a role right off the bat.
Yeah, no, if you're getting a core special teamer in the day two of the draft, like, that's a good thing, you know? And
yeah, a lot of people view special teams as like day three. You know, you throw the darts, the special teams coordinator thinks, oh, I want this guy on my unit type of thing. But, I mean, at the same time, you sign
It's a developmental thing, right? Like, yeah, I want him to be able to contribute for day one. Like,
right.
I want him to be on the roster. Even if he's, like, you have Justin Reed, Tyron Matthew. He's not going to be your starting safety, but can he get on the field? And here's the thing. With the new kickoff rule, you need those guys. You need guys who can run down and make a tackle, and that's only going to get more important with the changes.
And so he starts out as a special teamer, I think, right off the bat, and eventually can develop into a starting safety in the league.
All right, like we said, we had an exclusive interview with Jonas Sanker on our Draft Fest coverage from yesterday. Coleman, hit it.
Guys, going to welcome in now Jonas Sanker to the WWL Radio Huddle after getting drafted by the Saints in the third round just now. Thanks so much for joining us, Jonas. How you doing tonight, man?
I'm doing good.
Welcome on in. You're here with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, voice of the Saints, Mike Hawes, our NFL analyst, Mike Dettillier, and the great Deuce McAllister as well, former Saints running back. We're going to go to Deuce to lead it all things off, Jonas.
Well, first of all, I want to tell you congratulations and welcome to the squad. And, you know, just what I got to get your thoughts on what it means to you to be able to be coming to the NFL and to the New Orleans Saints.
Yeah, no, it's definitely an honor. And, you know, I'm grateful for the opportunity. You know, I'm grateful for the Saints, you know, investing in me and taking a chance on me. So, you know, I'm not going to take that lightly. And, you know, they're going to get my all.
Position, or at least a secondary position, what are you most comfortable with? Is it at the strong? Is it playing a nickel? Is it at a free safety? Where are you most comfortable playing? And, you know, just talk a little bit about the versatility that you have on that back end.
Honestly, I feel like I'm comfortable wherever. You know, I've spent my whole career, you know, playing all around. So I feel like being versatile and being able to fit in wherever, you know, just gives me the ability to play, you know, wherever they see me. So, you know, I think I fit any way they see me in their scheme.
You know, I had one more for you. That was supposed to be my last one. Special teams wise, do you have the ability to be able to, you know, play on the core teams, whether it's from the return standpoint or being able to be a cover guy, either kickoff, end, or punt?
Yeah, honestly, I feel like I could play anywhere. And, you know, I'm a football player, so, you know, wherever they see me playing on special teams, you know, I'll be able to do it.
You know, you say you're a football player, but it seems like you got a pretty damn good IQ. Look at all the schools that were recruiting you. I mean, I don't think they're – if you're Dartmouth, Yale, Penn, Harvard, Boston College, or whatever, and then all of a sudden you had Virginia. I know that's some real schools that you just don't show up. You just don't show up for roll call. You got to go to class. So is that something that your parents – or your surroundings, because that's impressive that your background and your intelligence, not only as a football player, but as a college student, whatever it might be, to be on this level. Just talk a little bit about that and your background, because if you're getting that kind of recognition, you must have been pretty damn smart in high school.
Yeah, no, you know, UVA definitely took school seriously, so, you know, I took pride in that. And then all throughout high school, you know, my dad was the headmaster of my school. So, you know, he didn't let me slack for one second. So, you know, I've always, you know, taken pride in everything I do. And I think that reflects a lot in my character and then just how I approach everything.
He wasn't getting no skip days.
No. That's right. People think that's good. That's tough, baby. That ain't. That's not. That's a tough thing.
You know, Jonas, I'm looking at, and I think you kind of elaborate a little bit with Deuce on this. Looking at your ability to play both deep and in the slot, and you know, you're playing at the NFL level, you can't be afraid to tackle. And I was reading where your size and versatility are two big boxes that you checked off, and you have the ideal frame for an NFL safety prospect. So it seems like the more you could do, whether they put you in the box, they put you in the slot, or you're going deep middle, that's something. And like Deuce said, you play on special teams. The more you could do, you know, whether you're an interior offensive lineman, whether you're playing center, guard, whatever, you're never just one thing. So I know you took pride in that, and then you're flexible enough to be coachable, that what do you want me to do, and you continuously grow and try and excel in that.
Just learning and, you know, just watching guys ahead of me, but then also just responding well to coaching. I think those are going to be two big things. Coming in with a humble mindset, just, you know, understanding that, you know, I'm new to this level, you know, I'm new to the scheme and everything. So it's coming in with an open mind, being ready to learn. That's really all it is, and then being ready to work.
Onus, one of the things, and your coaches brought this up about your communication skills in the secondary, and I think a lot of times people don't realize, you know, with everything, all these crossing patterns and changing up coverage, they always trusted that you would put these guys in the right spot. You knew what to do, but you were getting other guys to be put in the right position, and that to me is a big statement when coaches give you that type of responsibility.
Yeah, take pride in that. You know, that goes just into preparation. So for me, that was just, you know, understanding that I had to know everybody's job, whether it was DBs, linebackers, D-line, just understanding everything, understanding the scheme. And that allowed me to kind of just speak openly and just speak quickly, just because I had such a good understanding of everything going on. So really just, you know, goes back to preparation.
Now, Jonas, not everything is 100%. You always want to continuously get better, high school, college, and into the pros. I was reading where, and this happens, because sometimes you want to have that edge, and, you know, not that you're guessing, but I'll say I was reading where sometimes you need to improve on your eye discipline. That's a part of, like, look, you want the defensive coaches to trust you, but sometimes you got to know when to take a chance. And just talk about a little bit about the eye discipline and what you're looking for going forward in the NFL, because you, obviously you're going against better competition, and just the aspects of that eye discipline playing on the back end in the secondary.
Yeah, no, that just speaks into just coming in with a humble, open mind, understanding that there's so much room to grow. And, you know, me as a player, I know that, you know, there's so many things I want to improve on, not just eye discipline, just every aspect of my game, just want to keep improving. And with that mindset, you know, the sky is the roof. So just having that mindset, keep working on eye discipline, keep working on weight to footwork, you know, man technique, tackling form, just everything. So just finding ways to always keep improving is going to be a goal for me.
Say, this is Mike Haas. I do play-by-play for the Saints along with Deuce McAllister, who you talked to first. So let's get first things first. Say your first name for me.
Jonas.
All right, very good.
So no J.
Yeah, no J. J. Just want to make sure. I don't want to get it wrong first night. I want to keep going. I'm from the Commonwealth of Virginia, like yourself. I'm going to let it go that you didn't go to James Madison where I went, but we'll let that go. So you come to a secondary with veterans like Tyrann Mathieu, Justin Reed. So you have this unique opportunity to me where you can learn from some guys, yet – you have an opportunity to play. That's got to be a good kind of feeling for you.
Yeah, no, for sure. I'm excited to, you know, see what some of those guys are doing. You know, obviously have so much talent in that room already, but, you know, I look at that as just an opportunity to grow and get better as a player. So, you know, I'm ready to, you know, attack the day and attack the opportunity ahead of me. And, you know, I'm looking forward to it.
You know, Jonas, when I'm looking at everybody heard, and especially in these parts of I mean, you know what's intriguing? All of a sudden, now you're in the NFL, and you're playing with Honey Badger. You're going to be in the damn meeting room. You know, and Tyrann Mathieu, when you think about it, because, you know, I'm sure you watch football growing up, and you might see, like, man, look who you're with now, and you're on that level. Boy, you got to take a lot of pride in that and just take advantage of this opportunity that you're playing with the likes and all the skins he has on the wall, or like a guy like Tyrann Mathieu, the Honey Badger.
Yeah. Nah, definitely. You know, I watched him in college, watched him in the pros. So, you know, excited to, you know, learn from a guy like that.
Jonas, just curious, some of the guys that maybe you looked up to or tried to model your game after.
You know, guys like Buda Baker, guys like, you know, Minkah Fitzpatrick, Derwin James, Kyle Hamilton. You know, that list goes on, but that's just kind of a few to – you know, name them. Just, I'm always watching. I'm always, you know, trying to get better off some of the guys ahead of me.
Definitely looking forward to seeing you as part of the Black and Gold and the Who Dat Nation. Definitely going to come out and see everything you're all about during training camp. One thing we got to hear from you right now, though, joining us here on WWL Saints Radio, your first Who Dat since you've been drafted by the Black and Gold now, Jonas. So just curious if you can give us a big old Who Dat for the Black and Gold fans after out there.
Y'all want me to just say Who Dat?
Yeah, yeah, come on.
Yeah, it's our battle cry. Yeah, man. Yeah, you got to give us some effort.
Hey, okay, John. Jonas.
Bobby's going to teach you.
I'm going to teach you. Okay, you got to say, Who Dat? Who Dat? Who Dat say ain't going to beat them Saints? Who Dat? Okay, I want to hear it now.
No, I just say, all right, Who Dat?
Yeah, but you got to say, Who Dat? Who Dat? Who Dat say ain't going to beat them Saints? Who Dat? Come on. You smart enough. I know. Look at all those Who Dat.
Yeah, he's looking at it. He's looking at it like, what's wrong with you?
Who Dat?
Yeah, yeah.
He's like, what is these guys down here talking about?
I know.
That's a new one for me, but I tried.
It ain't gonna be for long.
It ain't gonna be for long, baby.
Let me tell you, I know they love football in Virginia, but you're in the real deep south. In Louisiana, we love our Saints. The Gulf Coast Gulf Saints, it's a religion. And listen, it's going to be a spiritual experience you playing for the Saints. I'm telling you right now, the Houdat Nation is going to love you, going to love you. Come on, bring it.
Welcome, Jonas. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us, man.
I appreciate y'all.
All right, so we need to set up Jonas with whoever Tyler Shuck's Houdat trainer is because he had
no idea.
I don't know if he's ever heard.
He's just like, y'all want me to say Houdat?
He's never watched a Saints or Bengals game.
Oh, yeah, okay. I always, every time I forget about that and then I'm reminded, the Houdat chant.
Houdat? Who is
and it just makes me mad.
Yeah.
It's so stupid.
Sometimes I'll hear it during the game. I'm like, wait, oh, that's right. They do it too. All right. But okay, so that.
We got there.
Again, that was Jonas Sanker. I keep trying to, I need to stop. I keep wanting to say Jonas Sankey. Jonas Sanker.
Yes.
Okay.
Just remember Valanciunas.
Third round pick of the Saints, number 93 overall. So we went through the picks they made. Now I think it's time to shift over to the rest of the draft. We're going to hit the break here, come back, talk about some of our favorite targets coming in round 4, 5, 6, and 7. I'm Jeff Nowak. He is Charlie Long. This is Draft First Take on WWL.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Coming back in on Draft First Take here on WWL, brought to you by TrainSouth.com. Jeff Nowak, Charlie Long, Coleman behind the glass. And, you know, we've talked a lot about the Saints draft class, as we should. The top four picks in this class are going to be the players we talked the most about. But, you know, the Saints have five picks to make in the bottom four rounds. And, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if they consolidate a little bit, maybe try to push some of these picks to the future, right? Maybe you trade a seventh this year for a sixth next year, something like that. But as of right now, there are five picks to make. So, Charlie, let's start here. Who are some of your favorite players still on the board as we head into the fourth round?
So I'll separate this into two different categories. My favorite player remaining, singular player, is Jack Sawyer, the defensive end from Ohio State. And I'm surprised that he's here, Jeff. The guy was very highly recruited out of high school. He goes to Ohio State, has a long, illustrious career there. Now, the reason that he's fallen to this point is that he didn't do much in the pre-draft process. He didn't want to really do the workouts. There's questions about his athleticism. But if you're just talking about a high-floor defensive end, I think he's a really, really good player. He was someone that I initially had, you know, kind of borderline first round into the day two on my mocks pre-combine. But then the pre-draft process, he definitely cratered a little bit. He's the number 57 overall player on Mike D's big board, the number 9 ranked defensive end in a really good defensive end class. I like him a lot. I think that he's probably going to fly off the board on day three, if I had to guess. But the second part, as I kind of mentioned, my favorite player with Jack Sawyer, there are a ton, and I mean a ton, of really good running backs still left available. And the guys talked a little bit about it last night, kind of previewing day three. Mike and I had been talking about this running back class a lot leading up into the draft, that it's one of the most loaded classes, maybe just behind defensive line. But the running backs this year are fantastic. There have only been 6 selected so far, Jeff, and I wasn't expecting that. I thought that there was going to be maybe 6 or 7 taken even on day two. There were only 4 taken. So in total, there's been 6 drafted, Ashton Jeanty and Omarion Hampton in the first round to the Raiders and the Chargers specifically. And then just yesterday, the Browns, with one of their multiple picks that they didn't use on Shedeur Sanders, took Quinshon Judkins, the running back from Ohio State. The other running back from Ohio State, Travion Henderson, went to the Patriots in the second round. And then a little bit down the board, the Broncos took R.J. Harvey, the running back from UCF. And the Steelers took Caleb Johnson, the running back from Iowa. So there is still a ton of good talent at the running back position, which is a big question mark on this team. Because, you know, Alvin Kamara is getting older. We don't know what's happening with Kendre Miller. He's been a big question mark ever since he's been drafted. So at this point, I would definitely target, if he's there, Jack Sawyer. But if not, you're looking more at the running back position. With one of these fourth round picks, there's still a ton of talent. And we'll dive a little bit into it. Cam Scataboo from Arizona State.
Yeah,
Dylan Sampson. Yeah, me too. Dylan Sampson from Tennessee, I'm really surprised he's still here. I thought he was going to be potentially a second-round pick, maybe at worst an early third-round pick. He's on the board at the start of day three.
Right.
That's a really big name to keep in mind. Damian Martinez from Miami is another one that's really interesting, kind of an in-between-the-tackles runner. you know, maybe it's a really, really high-end comp, but then kind of like a Marshawn Lynch, a very physical back that doesn't like to really bounce out too much. But there's just, yeah, like I mentioned, a lot of talent at the running back position. Some good talent at the edge rusher, as I mentioned, with Jack Sawyer. Also, Braden Swenson still on the board, and he was someone that we had seen going up in pre-draft process. Like, he was flying up boards, but he was not taken on day two, so he is one of the priority day three guys that's going to, I think, get drafted very quickly from LSU.
Yeah, just a reminder, Saints have two picks in the fourth round. That's 112 overall. That's the 10th pick of the fourth round, so a pretty early pick. Then they have 131. That's a pick they got in the Marshawn Lattimore trade. That's the 29th pick in the fourth round. No fifth round picks, which is kind of funny because last year they had three. This year they have none, but they have a ton of picks. They just don't need fifth round picks.
Right.
But they have a pick in the sixth round, number 184 overall, another Washington trade. That's actually the trade they sent to, it's actually the pick they sent to Washington in the John Ridgeway trade that came back in the Marshawn Lattimore trade. Then they have the number 248 pick that's actually from Philadelphia, and then the number 254 pick, which is a comp pick. One thing we didn't talk about, you know, Mason Taylor went off the board.
Yes.
You know, so he ended up on the Jets, a good spot for him. You know, there's some fun photos of
a good day for the Jets. Yeah. I mean, a good start to the draft as far as, because people were projecting them to take Tyler Warren. They end up going with the right tackle, Armon Membu from Missouri, someone that they loved. And now their offensive line is complete. But tight end was still a big question mark for them. And they get the third best tight end in this class with Mason Taylor in the second round. So, and Daniel Jeremiah from the NFL Network had said that a lot of teams felt really, really comfortable with Mason Taylor. He had a great career at LSU, broke records for the tight end receiving position. And he was someone that could have potentially gone as early as late in the first round because teams just felt so comfortable with him as a prospect, a very safe, high floor type of guy. Like, he's going to be a good pro. But he falls into day two, and the Jets address another need. So good for them.
Yeah, two other LSU guys went. Emory Jones to the Ravens at number 91. And then the funny one to me is
Savion
Jones goes to the Broncos at number 101 overall. They actually traded up to go get him. So now that Sean's in Denver, he's willing to take LSU players, which I find very funny. And, and it kind of reinforces, like, it's not a coincidence that they did not draft LSU players while he was here. They didn't want him. Like, they didn't want the local connection, I think. And now that he's out of this area, LSU players, they're pretty good, right?
The Broncos also added Jahdae Barron, didn't they?
Yes. From Texas. I think they traded up for him as well.
No, I think they stay put. I think they got him at 20.
Yeah, they did. They took him at 20, but yeah, that's a good I love the picks they're adding. They have a great defense.
That defense is going to be disgusting.
And it's what, like, I think the Saints kind of learned throughout the years was, like, Sean Payton can make things work on offense. You give him the pieces, he'll make things work. You don't have to give him elite pieces. You don't have to make top 10 offensive picks, but you got to give him a defense to support that offense. And the Broncos are doing that.
That Broncos defense was already like top five, and they're adding all this talent in the offseason. That's going to be a scary unit. Jeff, you mentioned, obviously, with the LSU players going off the board in day two with Mason Taylor and Savion Jones, I already brought up Braden Swenson. Another one that I'm a little bit surprised is still on the board, Miles Frazier, the offensive guard. Mm-hmm. Yep. Someone that Mike has talked to me about that he's super high on, that he's a guy that you'll pick. He thought he was going to go day two as well, but he's here on day three. Just a mauler in the run game. There's some work that needs to be done in pass protection, but he's someone that, you know, you're confident can develop into potentially being a starting guard by potentially year two. Yep. So if you're throwing darts, which is what the third day is typically, maybe outside, like, the darts are probably closer to the sixth and seventh rounds, but with the fourth round, if you want kind of a guy that you think is going to start by year two, Miles Frazier is a very safe bet.
You know, if the Saints want to, they could.
I think so too.
Triple dip. I might be talking about something else.
Okay.
If the Saints want to, they could do the triple Longhorn dip
and go get Jaden Blue.
I was saying Gunnar Helm.
Okay, okay.
Because I think tight end is a need. And I think
we're not on the same page at all.
He kind of fills that need. But, like, you know, I think that would be kind of fascinating. We've seen the Saints kind of go big on Ohio State. We've seen the Eagles kind of go big on Georgia. Maybe the Saints, maybe Texas. Maybe it becomes, Texas East, the Longhorns East.
I wouldn't be against it. I think that there's other players that I like above Gunnar, especially early in the fourth round. Like, if Dylan Sampson's there from Tennessee, this is a guy that was like I think the SEC Offensive Player of the Year last year.
Yeah.
Ran for 22 touchdowns, over 1,400 yards. Somehow, and he's a local, by the way, he's a local product. somehow he's sitting here on day three. Yeah. I'm really surprised that he wasn't picked on day two. But for a Saints running back room that needs some juice, Dylan Sampson can definitely provide that.
DJ Giddens, intriguing. There's a lot of I expect the Saints to come out of this draft with a running back. Just a question of whether they go
Giddens
after
is
it.
A really good
DJ
one.
DJ Giddens is That's really intriguing. Shout. Trevor Etienne, I think is interesting. I don't know where you'll have to take him. I don't think he's 70. Or I don't think he's your first third round pick. Maybe he's your second third round pick, or if I'm sorry, I'm all mixed up. Your second fourth round pick, or if he gets to that sixth round spot. I think that's really intriguing. He's a guy that little undersized, but I see him as being kind of an immediate, like, third down kind of scat back contributor. I think one of my goals for Alvin Kamara is to take some of the workload off him from a pass protection standpoint. And, you know, I don't know if Trevor Etienne is that guy, but I'm just kind of talking here. Like, if I'm bringing in a running back, I want to make sure that running back can be a pass pro running back.
Yeah.
Because that's like, I don't want to waste Alvin Kamara reps, having him get blown up by edge rushers in the backfield.
That is the one thing about Sampson that Mike had brought up, is that he's kind of a shorter, squatty back, but he brings a lot of explosion to the rushing game.
Right.
The issue with him and where he needs to work on, and this might be why he did fall to day three, is that he's got a lot of work to do in pass protection. So we'll see what happens with him.
And
here's
the thing. You don't typically trust a rookie in pass pro. I just think that's why if I'm looking at a 30-year-old running back that I know still has a lot of juice left, I want to maximize that juice. I don't want to send Alvin out there and constantly have him try to pick up free rushers.
But, yeah, and that's the thing. A lot of the running backs in this class are good pass protectors, yeah. Which is, you know, they're not just super talented ball carriers, which they are as well. A lot of these guys still on the board have a lot of juice. Right, but the pass pro part of it is definitely an aspect. And Dylan Sampson, someone that I'm really high on, former Dutchtown Griffin from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. So we'll see what happens with him. I expect him to be picked pretty quickly, but if he's there on the board for the Saints at pick 112, I would love that pick.
I also still think edge rusher is somewhere you look. Braden yeah. Swinson, I think you mentioned Braden Swinson.
Yep.
You know, he's out there. Jack Sawyer. Kyle Kinnard is really intriguing. I thought that South Carolina defensive line in general, like if I got anybody off of it, I'd feel good.
Guys were flying off the board in day two.
Yeah, that was an elite unit, so it's not a surprise. Tyler Barron out of Miami, Jared Ivey out of Ole Miss. There's some really intriguing names. You know, I don't know if these are guys you expect to contribute right away. The issue with drafting an edge rusher late is like, is an edge rusher a special teams contributor? Where are you going to put him on this roster? Is my point. So. Because you're going to have to start to think about that. Then that's like also wide receiver, right? If I'm taking a wide receiver in the sixth round, is he going to make my roster? Can yeah. he play special teams? And right. that's like I look at a Jalen Royals. I really like Jalen Royals out of Utah State. I think he's one of the best players currently on the board. But is he going to make my roster at
yeah.
this point?
We'll see how highly they value the receivers on the board or yeah. if they just roll into the season with what they've got. Alec Iomanner is one to mention as well from Stanford.
Is that how you say that name?
Yeah, Iomanner.
Okay.
He's a 6'2", 205-pound, big body receiver, kind of contested catch guy. And we're talking about with running backs that you have to be able to pass block and help the quarterback in the passing game that way. With receivers, you know, the best way to get into a coach's heart as a receiver is to be able to block your butt off in the run game. And that's something that Iomanner can give you. He's also a good big body receiver that the Saints team is kind of missing. So maybe he could be an option at some point.
I'll give you one more, and it's my favorite receiver name in the draft.
Okay.
It's Nick Nash.
Yes. No, that was the San Jose State kid,
yes.
right?
6'3".
He put up crazy
pounds.
Numbers this
yeah,
past year.
Yeah, he led the league in touchdowns. Yeah. He led the nation in touchdowns. So, you know, I think that's what I'm looking for. If I'm looking for a wide receiver, a guy, one, just I like saying Nick Nash. It's fun to say. It's kind of like Nick Toon. Nick Nash. Nick Nash. And I think he's a guy that, you know, I put him on my roster. He can make the team because I think he can go out there and make tackles. Right?
So a lot of in kind of yesterday we were talking about the cornerback position and they didn't even really address that. But we're talking about the cornerback. We're talking about defensive tackle that we're expecting. Today's more of we're looking at wide receivers, running backs, yeah. some of the defensive ends that are still available that have fallen kind of through the cracks into day three. And there's a lot of really talented names there. So, you know, for Saints fans looking forward to the start of day three, it's a good thing that you have a second, fourth round pick because you can address multiple holes early on day three. And then we'll see what they do with their sixth round pick and then their two sevenths.
Who do y'all want to see picked? Let us know. 504-260-1870. We do have a text here from 7662. He says, I'm all for drafting players from Texas. Hook 'em horns. I'd take them sooner than anyone from Oklahoma.
There we go.
I see what you did there.
And Jaden Blue is the other Texas player. I thought you were going that way with the Texas.
Go all to Texas. Let's just longhorn it up, baby.
Jaden Blue was someone that Adam West from the Saints Block Party podcast that we've had on the show multiple times in the pre-draft process. He's super high on Jaden Blue as far as a talented back that he could probably get at some point today. And shockingly enough, he falls to day three. He's on the board. He's the number 87 player, the number 9 ranked running back on Mike D's big board, and he's available.
Did you say like shockingly, like S-H-O-U-G-H?
Shockingly.
Shockingly? Okay. But we're just getting started here. But we're getting down toward the end. We're taking you up to 11 a.m. on Draft First Take. Jeff Nowak, Charlie Long. We'll be coming back. Texter wants to know about Cam Scatabo. I do too. Let's talk about it. Who dat? Stick around. This is WWL. Coming back in on WWL, getting down toward the end here on Draft First Take. Jeff Nowak, Charlie Long. We're going to go to the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line. We've got Mark in Gretna wants to talk about someone he wants the Saints to draft. What you got for us, Mark? You're on WWL.
How y'all doing, guys? I've been doing some research, and I know they were talking about trying to, you know, a big receiver. We need a big receiver. Dante Thornton out of Tennessee. He's got size and speed, 205, 205 pounds, and 6'5", and he runs a 4.3.
Yeah.
Okay, yep, I'm looking at it now. Yeah, no, I think that's, yeah, that's, if I'm looking for a receiver at this point in the draft, that's kind of, I'm looking for traits. I'm looking for someone who can fill a role for me. And I think you're on the right track there. 6'5". Like if I can find a 6'5" receiver that I can plug in certain situations. That's what you thought you were getting with A.T. Perry. It just didn't work out, right?
Right, yeah. Oregon transfer, went to Tennessee this past year and led the team with receiving yards at 661. Good athlete, really good athlete. You kind of mentioned, Mark, the 4.3 speed, but also with a 6'5" frame, I can definitely see the appeal. And that's if you decide to go receiver at this point. Like we've mentioned, I'm more invested in this running back group because you're building through the strengths of a draft. You got a defensive tackle already, building through the strengths of a draft. But you also want to get a running back, and at least one, maybe even potentially two, depending on how the board falls. But that's kind of my priority. However, at the same time, if you're addressing the big body needed receiver, yeah, Thornton's at least someone to be, you know, up for consideration. He was kind of viewed as an early day three pick, so this is the right range for him.
Yeah, and it's just another guy from a UT school that wore orange.
Yeah, there you go.
You know,
just the wrong UT and a different flavor.
I don't know, with Tennessee and Texas. You got Alvin Kamara, you got Alante Taylor, you got all of these guys.
Yeah.
Marquez Callaway was a Tennessee guy too. Like, I think
I'm on the Longhorn bandwagon, man.
Yeah, I don't know. We're at the point in the show where I'm making connections that don't exist. You know, and it's an interesting, I think that's kind of where I'm at with the, you know, when I say Nick Nash, part of the reason is I enjoy saying the name, but also, yeah, like this, just like Thornton there, you're talking about elite size. And when
speed.
And speed, right. But like when you're at day three of the draft, when you're at the end of the draft, and this is true of the UDFA market as well, teams are looking for not, oh, is he going to start for us? Is he going to play for us? It's, do you have guys with elite traits? Can you find one elite trait in the end of the draft? And if you do, you can build on that. Like Rashid Shaheed, right? Like they found a guy with an elite trait, which is speed, which is kind of fluidity, and they can build on that. And, you know, that's if you can get a guy with one elite trait in the 6th, 7th round, that's a win. And you can kind of build the rest. And that's how you find some of these players. You know, one guy who I think is more of an all-around player that is still on the board is Cam Scatabo. You know, people know him. He was at Arizona State. He was a highly productive guy. I'd be surprised if he's the Saints pick at the top of the 4th round. I think they'd probably have to take him in the top of the 4th round if they wanted him. I don't know if he would last to the next pick.
No,
I think you're going to start to see the running backs come off. But what are your thoughts on
that? He's going to be a 4th-round pick, almost certainly.
Right.
And
I think he's going to be an early 4th-round pick.
I agree. So you're probably going to have to take him at 112 if you really want him. But as far as
I don't know if he'll even get there, but yeah.
Yeah, potentially. He's a bulldog, Jeff. I mean, you watch the guy play. And
no, everyone, he's a Sun Devil.
That's a fair
point.
Sorry,
I had to.
But like you watch his game, and everyone remembers the game against Texas, right? In the college football playoff where he just went off.
Yeah.
He's so rugged. He runs hard. He's physical, hard-nosed, kind of blue-collar. And I hate saying this, but he's just a solid, solid player. Now, I don't exactly know why he didn't go on day two. I figured that a lot of people would have been a little bit higher on him than to let him fall into the 4th round. But the run on running backs just hasn't happened. And I think that it's been a lot of teams saying, oh, we'll hold off on drafting a running back. We can just get some guy, you know, in the fourth round or in the fifth round. And I think the run's going to happen today. And it's probably going to start with Cam Scataboo or Dylan Sampson, as I was mentioning. And then the run's just going to go. There's going to be like 10 running backs taken today.
Yeah, the guy I saw him comp to was ironically someone who plays in Arizona. It's James Conner out of Pittsburgh. Okay. And I think that's they are similar. Like I think the reason he falls is because he is not that kind of dynamic.
He's not an explosive
athlete.
Right.
Right. But neither was James Conner. But James Conner, I think you watch him play and you can see like that's the type of running back a lot of teams want. It's just it's not a high pedigree skill set. You don't get excited about it. He's like, you know, Omarion Hampton is that guy as well, but I think he just has a little bit more juice. And, you know, I don't see it. You kind of have to be a high volume player to succeed in the way that Cam Scataboo did in college. You know, I look at Jamal Williams and I see like that's the limitation of a non-explosive athlete is, you know, when you're falling forward, you're getting 3-4 yards, it makes all the sense in the world. When you're getting stoned at the line of scrimmage, it's like, why are we giving him the ball at all? You know, and I think that's going to be the struggle for teams who are trying to dedicate a third round pick to a Cam Scataboo when there's so many elite athletes on the board. Now you're in the fourth round, and I think teams would be a lot more willing to spend a flyer on one of those guys.
He's a battering ram. And so I think if the Saints drafted him, I think he would very quickly become a fan favorite. Just because if you watch the guy run, he runs angry, Jeff. He's the type of guy that if you give him the ball, he'll turn like a 2-yard gain into a 4-yard gain, but he'll bruise a linebacker.
But he'll also turn. He's the exact guy who he'll turn a 2-yard. He's Edgerrin James, right? That was the thing on Edgerrin James. Like he will turn a 2-yard loss into a 2-yard gain, but he'll also turn a 20-yard gain into a 4-yard gain, right?
Like that's yeah. He's the once again. He's like a battering ram. Yeah. Think of Cam Scataboo that way. So I like him a lot. I agree with you. I think he's going to go early on day three in the fourth round. But if he's there at pick 112, with the Saints in their running back room the way it is, you have to at least consider it.
Yeah, no. You need a running back. You need somebody. At least, if nothing else, someone to push Kendrick.
I'm telling you, I think it's at least one. Yeah. If they don't take a running back today, I will be very surprised.
Here's the thing. Like a lot of times you go into the draft, like, I want him to come out with this guy. I want him to come out with this guy. I want him to come out with this guy. But they don't always have the picks, right? They don't always have the numbers to come out with players at each of these positions.
Yeah.
You do. You got 5 more picks. If there's positions that you're looking at from a numbers perspective and you're just like, I just want another piece there. I want to take a shot on somebody. You got all the picks in the world. We just got a text asking what number picks the Saints have. So let's just go through it one more time.
Yes, go ahead.
Before we hit the break. So they have 2 picks in the fourth round. It's the 10th overall pick. I'm sorry. It's the 112th overall pick is the 10th pick in the round. Then they have number 131. That's a trade they got. That's the pick they got from Washington in the Lattimore trade. That's 131 overall, the 29th pick in the fourth round. No fifth round picks. A 6th round pick and number 184 overall. Then 2 7th round picks. One came from Philadelphia through Washington, and that's 248 overall. And then the final pick is 254, a comp pick, which is 3 picks from the end of the draft.
Yep.
So, again, you got the numbers. If you want to take shots on positions, this is where you do it. You just start knocking them down.
Yeah, defensive end, as I mentioned with Jack Sawyer, but definitely addressing the running back position. Braden Swinson as well for that defensive end spot. Either one of them would be intriguing at 112, and then maybe if you want to push running back down to the second pick of the fourth round. But you should probably use one of these 2 picks in the fourth round on a running back because there's still plenty of talent there.
No question. All right, I'm Jeff Nowak. He's Charlie Long getting out down toward the end here on Draft First Take, brought to you by TrainSouth.com. We're going to come back, close it out, keep it locked on WWL. All right, closing out Draft First Take, getting ready to hand it off to the guys over at Rouse's on Power Boulevard. Bobby Hebert, Deuce McAllister, Mike D'Attelier, Mike Haas, and Steve Geller. It's a lot of names, but they've got a lot to say, so it works out. Charlie, you know, closing things out, dream pick at number 40. I'm sorry, we're way past that. At number, 112? Is that
I'm going, 112. I'm going with the Dutchtown Griffin. I'm going with Dylan Sampson.
Dylan Sampson. Yeah, I'm on the same page. I want a running back. I want a guy that's going to push Kendre Miller. I want a guy that I could see taking over for Alvin Kamara, being that kind of really exciting player for fans to get excited about. I'm going with Cam Scataboo. Like the Saints have done enough to get fans annoyed. It's like, take the guy I like. Take the guy I'm excited about. Can we do it? Can we do it one time? Can we
just take it? Social media is not real life, though, Jeff.
I know. I just want one pick to get to. I want a fun pick. Give me one fun pick. We've taken our medicine with Shuck and Sanker. And
I think the medicine picks have been the line picks, like the trenches picks, like right. That's the meat and potatoes of this draft. And
right. Give me a fun name to say. Give me a. I guess we have Shucks. So that's a fun name to say. Give me a Scataboo. Give me Shuck and Scataboo, the future.
LLC. Yeah. Listen, I'm all for drafting a running back here. Scataboo. I'm right there with you, but I prefer Dylan Sampson just a little bit.
Yes. Yes. It's like a long haul trucking company. Anyway, who dat? Go Saints. Draft day, baby. Rounds 4 through 7. Keep it locked on WWL.